And welcome again to College Talk Extra Time. I'm Russ Goldman, a co-host, and with me today will be Mike Gregg and Giannis Genaeus. In this episode, we will be discussing the disappointing 3-2 loss for Fulham against Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough. Again, this is a very disappointing loss. The way the Fulham lost it, giving up 3 goals on set pieces, it's not what you're looking for, and we will be discussing it in this episode. But before we get going, I believe I have Mr. Gregg on the line. Mike, are you with me?
Yes, hi, Russ. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very good. It's a lovely day here in London, and looking forward to talking about the game yesterday and the repercussions from it.
Well, listen, you were there, and that's what's great about this, is that you can give us a real look at, you know, be our eyes, because, again, as we were about to record this, I did not have the opportunity yet to watch the preview, watch the replay. So again, I've seen the highlights, but I've not watched. I listened to it, but it will be great to get your real view of what happened, Mike.
Yeah, I'm surprised the 90 minutes isn't up yet, but I'm sure they're working on it and it will go up. But yeah, more than happy to talk about what I saw. And I think there was probably about 800 of us, maybe 1,000 fans there, and all in good voice. And yeah, there's a lot to discuss from it.
Absolutely, and I look forward to going through that with you. But also on the line with us would be our College Talk co-host, Giannis Genaeus. I'm going to bring him on right now. And Giannis, before I introduce you, I just want to mention again, congratulations to you, your wife, and your team. Again, you did not win the match yesterday, but to get to the final and to play the way that you played, you should be very proud, along with your girls and your wife.
Hello, thank you, Russ. We're just it's funny, we just watched the replay of the match because it's on the website, and we've been making notes. We're still a little bit stunned here because we took the lead with 2 minutes to go, and I thought we'd had it, and then we just had a collective breakdown, and they equalized with 30 seconds to go, and we didn't even score on the penalty kick. So it was it's one of those. It's the morning after, the night before, where you wonder. You know, it was a little bit like the Broncos and the Chiefs in the week. I mean, the Chiefs snatched defeat at the jaws of victory. So we're very, very proud of them. It was tremendous to get that far. But we have tryouts next week, and we've got some areas we've got to address. And I'm sure we're going to look at the game film about 100 times again and see where maybe things we could have done a little differently.
Okay, very good, Giannis. And listen, I'm very proud of you and everyone involved, and you should be very proud. I know it's difficult the day after, but I wanted to mention because I put it up on the College Talk Facebook
Thanks,
page.
Yep.
And listen, what's great is that you're my friend, and I support you in everything that you do, and Fulham supporters around the world were watching. Seriously, David Holly was watching, of all people. David was watching. You know, again, he's not feeling well, but he watched, he cares. We all care. So again, we all support you and what you do, and I'm very proud of what you accomplished, my friend.
Appreciate that, Russ. It was. I tell you what, though, it was lovely because it's in a new stadium, and you know the turf, the field was really, really good, and we had tremendous support. It was a noisy crowd, and we just fell a little bit short. But you know what, we can have a crack next year, and we'll see how we do.
Okay, very good. And listen, like you obviously didn't have a chance because we haven't had a chance to watch back the full match. But again, we're going to depend on Mike to share and be our eyes here. But you and I can comment on based on what Mike shares, which should be good, my friend.
Yes. Hey, Mikey.
Yeah. Hi, Giannis. Hope you're well. And yeah, well, hopefully you've seen the goals at least.
I have my
and the yeah. and the great marking, but yeah, we're going through those main points certainly.
Okay, very good. And let's just start again. Just an overall view, Mike, because we will go through all 3 goals, and I'll also share a quote that I took off from the BBC London Sport audio from Kit. Again, I'm going to share that quote. Get your thoughts on that. But before we get there, just share with me what you watched at Hillsborough yesterday.
Yeah, okay, so I'm very disappointed by the performance more than anything. We've lost 3-2. Sounds like an exciting game. And the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we did throw everything at them. But honestly, I don't think we really deserve to come away with a point. Every time they had a free kick or corner set piece against us, it looked like they were going to score and win a header. We were too many players went missing, and a couple of them were very embarrassing, and they should be ashamed of their performances, if that's what you want to call them. And I wouldn't even say the second half we were the better side, really, you know, because we weren't. So it's not even a case of another bad 45 and then a good 45. It was a poor performance against a team which we made look very good. They have a lot of good attributes. They're, you know, quite pacey, move the ball quickly, everything we're not really. And but yeah, it was a real disappointment given the fact that, you know, we had a good turnout in fans. We're buoyed by 3 wins, but we looked a team of no confidence, no plan, too narrow. And like I say, you know, lack of marking and organisation. And the players just weren't up for it. Some of them just, you know, what was wrong with them? And I'm hoping we're going to hear something during the coming days, you know, to explain why it was such a poor performance, because there really was no excuse for it.
You know, Mike, it's funny. I was just listening to it from Gentleman Jim, and it's funny. We'll go through the stats, and the stats make it look like an even match, but I didn't listen to an even match. I listened, you know, again, just listening. I listened to a match where it was, you know, it was definitely a Sheffield Wednesday type of match, and I think you did a good job of describing, you know, your overall thoughts of it, and it's disappointing. You know, again, why, you know, why did they come out so sluggish? Why, you know, again, why did they let this team? Again, I understand that they're on the road, but this team dictated the play, Mike. Again, that's based on what I listened to. Would you say that for the 90 minutes overall, they dictated the play?
Apart from maybe a 10-minute spell sort of halfway in the second half and then definitely the last 10 minutes, apart from that, they were on top of us all the time. You know, from the kickoff, we just never got going. Players were hiding, not in the right positions, passing was poor. And, yeah, I've looked at the stats today, and I'm quite surprised at them, because it doesn't reflect the game we saw yesterday at all, really.
Right, and, you know, that's why I wanted to mention it, because I went and I looked at the stats, and it looks very even. And but, again, I'm not there, and what I listened to, it just didn't seem that way. That's why I'm glad that I can go through this with you. And let me start here. What were your thoughts about the starting 11?
Well, the starting 11, I think everyone was fairly happy with that. There was talk about, you know, could you get Fredericks in? But then, of course, he had an injury. And so, you know, to carry on the 3 wins, you know, despite the second half performance last week, we did win. So, yeah, it made sense. And I heard no rumblings before the game. And, you know, there were a few, you know, where's Kakanicic? Why isn't he on the bench? But then apparently he was either ill or had an injury. And so it looks a very defensive lineup bench-wise. But, yeah, no, I was fairly happy with it, given how well we've done result-wise recently. But as we saw, as soon as we kicked off, all the bad habits came back again.
Yeah, and listen, we will be going through that, because it really is a situation, Mike, and I think you'll agree with me. Different players, same problems, right? I mean, we're talking about set pieces. We talked about it last year. You know, again, I've seen the highlights. They look like the exact same problems, Mike.
Yes, everything that we could highlight in a negative way for last year, so that's marking at corners and set pieces, being too narrow, breaking slowly, you know, and not creating enough clear-cut chances. You know, you can look at the stats later where we had, I think, 8 chances on goal. And you can look at the highlights, and Ream had a shot from a corner which blazed over. Tunnicliffe had one wide. All these things. But what we're not creating is a clear cut all through on the floor for McCormick or Dembele or whoever's up front to run onto and score. And we had that issue last year. And, you know, it's half chances that we're getting and creating. But so all those key areas, it all came back to haunt us yesterday.
Okay, very good. Unfortunately, you know, we have to go through it. You know, again, we have to go through, we have to relive it. But again, I need you, Mike, to describe them to us. But that's good. Before we do, Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11. Again, it was same starting 11, so we're dealing with a similar team. But I want to get your thoughts on that and also what Mike has shared so far.
Well, I didn't have any, you know, problems. The starting 11 looked fine. And I agree, you know, where was Kaká? And Mike is absolutely right. If you look at the bench, it looks, you know, it looks very defensive. I mean, who are you going to call off there really to provide any sort of attacking options? Woodrow's the only one. But, I didn't get the chance to listen to the audio because I had my final. But
right,
I did see the replay. And there's one goal that stood out for me because I was noticing that defending from the corner, defenders weren't marking goal side.
Yep.
And I was scratching my head at this. I was thinking, no, wait a minute. Am I seeing this right? I mean, the oldest notion in the book is you're closer to the goalkeeper than the person you're marking. And when you've got two or three players who are not marking goal side, you're in trouble. And it's absolute basics. So it is, and Mike's right. It's the same old errors with different players. So then the question becomes, did we get the wrong players in the first place? No. Is it the kit isn't delivering the message appropriately? Probably. Is there a chance they've already started to tune him out? Possibly. And that's a concern. Because with the greatest respect to Sheffield Wednesday Football Club, they came into this game with only 6 points. And they're an ordinary side. Now, if we're struggling away from home against teams like that, what on earth is going to happen when we come up against teams like, obviously we've already lost to Brighton, but Middlesbrough, Burnley, Ipswich, even Reading are in sixth place, for crying out loud. So it is a concern that we conceded the goals the way we did.
It definitely is, Giannis. And again, we'll go through them. And before we break down the match and go through the individual moments, and again, we'll be talking about the goals. I want to share some information with you, and Mike, I definitely want your commentary on this. Let's start with the manager reaction that was on the phone website. Again, these are quotes from Kit, and then I want to get both of your thoughts on what I'm about to share here. Here's the manager reaction. Again, quote, this is from Kit. We certainly pushed really hard the second half, said Simons. I don't think too many people could have complained if we had come away with something out of the game, but give away three headers that cost us for the three goals, and there were more than that as well. Lonergan made a couple of really good saves for us from too many free headers. That side of our game wasn't good enough today. And then a little bit later, another quote from Kidd. I'm a little bit torn. I'm very frustrated and very annoyed with the defending from set pieces, balls in the box, but then I'm also proud of the way the players performed, especially in that first half. And again, that's right from the Fulham website. But before I go to you, Mike, I also want to share something. And again, you posted this on Twitter, and then I actually listened to it. I listened to the audio from Kip from BBC London Sport. This is after the match. Again, this is a quote from him. Again, quote, it should be very easy. The question was, how easy is it going to be to correct that? We're talking about the set piece issues. And here's the quote. Quote, this is from Kit. It should be very easy. People to mark man, the marking, and get to the ball first. Basically, marking the man first. This is from Kit. That should be blatantly easy. So it's not a difficult art, but it is a desire in doing your jobs. And again, then later on, in this audio clip, he talks about that. You know, again, I'm paraphrasing that it might be boring doing that type of work, practicing it, but. Again, Mike, again, these are quotes from Kit. I want to get your thoughts on the audio because I know you've listened to it, and also his reaction after the match.
Well, I'm sure anyone who follows me on Twitter will tell that I wasn't at all happy with two of his quotes that he's done. So I'll take the one from yesterday after the game where he said, you know, take them goals out of it and we played pretty well. I mean, what are you saying? Take the three goals away and we win 1-2-0? You know, let's take away the deflected goal, and in effect, we only won 1-0 then. So, you know, it's a very naive comment, and unfortunately, it's not the first time Kit has said something like that. The fact was, We might have had 68% of the ball, but they were the more dangerous side. And I think that tells you an awful lot about how we're set up and how we play. And they could have had another two or three goals, because he's right, Lonergan did make some saves, made a ricket for their second goal, admittedly. But, you know, it's just a silly comment, you know. And then the one about the defending, which I found today on that BBC audio, you know, the defending is boring, I might have to get them to do it even though they don't like it. What the hell are you on about? What's the problem we had last year? Yeah, we're not defending. You brought in, yesterday you had two players who played for us last year as fullbacks and two brand new centre-backs who have been players of the year. Their team's fans didn't want to see them go, and yet the same old problems coming up again. So you're not working at it, are you, Kit? You're not working hard enough to rectify set-piece defending or even defending as a unit and stopping the crosses in, because that's another issue from last year which we haven't rectified. And
that's
so,
right.
Absolute dreadful excuse, and I'm going to, you know, it's piss poor management for him to come out and say that. He's really angered me with that comment on BBC that, oh,
yeah,
it's going to be boring. Well, I'm sorry, Roy Hodgson and the players would, his time, all admit, you know, they found his training boring until they started winning and realised why. You've got to put in the hours to get the results on the pitch, and it's clear. We have not been doing that by his comments he said on that show.
Mike, that's why I wanted to share it. And again, I didn't want this to be an hour of us just, you know, going after Kip. But again, after hearing that, reading what I read, we have to talk about this, because, again, I'm disappointed by the commentary from Kit Simons. It's okay for him to say everyone do their job, but he should also take his own advice. You know, honestly, it's not just about the players. It's also about, you know, doing your job. Everyone, you know, take personal responsibility. That's the part of this I didn't hear and I didn't read. Take personal responsibility. If it's boring, like you said, Mike, so what? They might not like it in training. So what? It's what you need to do to win. And you just brought up the point. If you do it and you get the results, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. The players will enjoy the winning. They won't care about the tedious task of practicing this, training with this. It needs to be done. So, again, that part of all of this angered me this morning. That's why I wanted to bring it up. I wasn't planning on bringing it up. But, again, after I listened to it, I was really disappointed by the commentary from the Fulham manager. Giannis, I want to get your thoughts on this before we break down the match.
Well, we could have a little bit of fun by this. We could go in reverse. We could say, well, we won the game 7-0. But I tell you what, apart from those seven goals that we scored, we were absolutely dreadful. Terrible. Absolutely shocking. What is he going on about? I mean, and Mike is right. I remember reading an interview with Danny Murphy, and Murphy used to, you know, roll his eyes and shrug his shoulders because he said that every day practice was the same. But guess what? That, you know, that team went into Europa Cup final. It was, you know what? Where there are mistakes, it has to be repetition. And I'm going to give you a case in point. Something that we were working on before our final yesterday was on defensive shape. And, you know, we've spent a bit of time on it. But if I look back at the highlights of our goal, it's where one of the players, you know, broke down literally, and all of a sudden we were at sixes and sevens. So what are we going to do? We're going to turn back and say, right, we're going to practice this until we all bloody well get this right. Repetition.
Exactly.
I don't care if it's boring. I don't care if you fall asleep on the field. You're a professional. You paid good money to represent Fulham Football Club, and you're never going to win games if you concede three goals a game away to Sheffield Wednesday. So, you know, it's not a case of this isn't JK or grade one or let's go back in the classroom and do fun things so they can all learn about math and not realize they're learning. You know what? Let's get down to procedure and process, and let's stop ways of giving away free headers from free kicks, free headers from corners, and keep practicing until we get it right. So I agree with Mike. I thought that the content, the comments were bizarre, actually. It was really, really odd. So I'm just wondering here if some of the some of the dressing room, you know, I've already tuned him out. I hope not. I suppose Tuesday night against Stoke City will give us part of the proof of the pudding.
It's a good point. You know, again, I don't know what to say about all this. Again, I'm listening back to the commentary and what I was reading. I was just disappointed by the tone. Again, I understand the commentary of doing your job. The players need to do their job. But again, you're in charge. Do your job. That's the way I look at it. Also, do your job and take personal responsibility. If they don't like it, so be it. You do it. You do it like you just said, Giannis. You keep doing it. You drill it into them, whether they like it or not. Because
yep.
As I watched these three goals, and I watched them, and we're going to go through them, I have to say all three were preventable, and that's the part of this that really irritates me. They were all preventable. And I go back to preparation. You know, were these players prepared? Desire, and all that goes along with that. And I understand desire, but I also go back to preparation. They need to be drilled and drilled and drilled until it's second nature. And that I put on the full manager and the coaching staff. They need to be drilled more and more because those three situations, Giannis, are preventable. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not like, you know, our level, you know, at rep soccer where we get, you know, two or three practices a week to work on stuff. They get 5-6 days a week to work on this. I mean, this is one where, you know, you look at the feed, you look at the, you know, the pictures from the goals that were conceded. You look at the tape and you say, okay, we're going to take the defensive unit away. We're going to practice for 3 hours. And all we're going to do is we're going to work for 3 hours on shape. Nothing else. Don't even need a ball. Shape. What happens when this situation, the cross comes from the left, comes from the right? What if it's set a free kick edge of the box? What if it's a throwing defensive by the corner flag? Just, you know, 100 different scenarios. How are you going to get into defensive shape? But for me, it's unforgivable to be defending from a set piece and not being goal side. It is so basic. It's like seeing professionals toe punt the ball. It's incomprehensible. You don't see them toe punt the ball. So why would you see them not mark goal side from a set piece? It just I scratch my head that actually happened.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. And Mike, over to you. Again, before we go and break this down, I'm just curious because, again, I'm going on and on, and Giannis and I are going on and on. Am I wrong to say that these three goals were preventable?
I mean, you've got to give it their dues. They were good deliveries and they're good headers, and you know, they've attacked the ball. So, but they are, you know, they certainly are preventable by working hard on the pitch. Now, there's been some comments about, oh, it's a brand new centre pairing, and I can understand that in the context of a game play while the game is flowing and the ball's moving around and you're not sure where, you know, a certain player you've only just met should be. But there hasn't been a game for the last week. We're playing Sheffield Wednesday, who have a big man up front. They clearly play with wingers, and their right-hand side is very fast, getting across in, and strong at set pieces. Even Kit said that in the pre-match interview that he saw them during the week. So
right.
Why? So I'm not going to give them any leeway on the new centre-backs because they've had all week to work on structure, positioning at set pieces and corners. Okay, and Giannis is right. I mean, I've tweeted a couple of photographs, stills from the goals, and the amount of players who are the wrong side of the man. It's 5 against 5 in the box from a free kick, which is silly, and players dragging players because, you know, there's a picture of Tunnicliffe allowing the bloke right in front of him to get past him. He's going to pull him back. I mean, he should be goal side. He should be on his toes, ready. I'm a defender. That's what you do. You know, and then the other pictures are all parallel with them. It's just, it's clear the setup, they're not doing it properly. And I would urge anyone to track down the, you know, if they're questioning what we're saying, is track down that audio from BBC London and
it's
just listen to it.
It's on the
it.
Facebook
he,
page,
he,
by the way. It's on the College Talk
yeah.
Facebook page.
He basically admits that they haven't done enough defensive work.
Yep.
And considering 80-odd goals conceded last year, it's an embarrassment. It really is.
And you know what, Mike, it's great that you say that because, you know, let's talk about game tape for a second. This morning, you know, my wife and I reviewed the game tape from the final yesterday, and We played two 40-minute halves, and I reckon, and it's only once that we've watched the tape and we made notes, we've already found, I reckon, something like 100 hours of practice potential on things we need to work on. Right now, I can tell you right now, areas of the field where we say that this broke down, players out of position we need to work on, formational shape, defensive shape, attacking, defending numbers, first touch, you know, awareness, looking over your shoulder, all that sort of stuff. And that's those coachable moments that when you go, and I don't have the benefit of a cameraman or live televised to actually have that game tape. They do every single week. So from one, we can now go away and say, okay, let's plan for what we need to do moving forward. Kit has this. He has this. He has audio tape. He has visual tape. He has a number of coaches where they can differentiate and split practices to take groups away to work specifically on areas of weakness. So there aren't excuses there. They can't say, well, we don't have enough time. You know, we don't have the facilities. We would kill as coaches to have the facilities that they utilize. So for me, it's got to be something down to the planning, or he's just not seeing it, or there's just not a great enough work ethic in terms of rectifying issues. I mean, as I said, those three goals annoyed me because they're all preventable for me, and we've not even played the best teams yet. So there's a lot of work to be done. I think we can all agree on that.
No, definitely, Giannis. Very, very good take by you and Mike. You know, again, listen, I'm glad that we could really just go through this, and I'm sorry in advance to anyone that thinks I'm being harsh on Kit. It's just it's difficult not to after those comments and seeing the goals and the way that the whole thing played out. Again, I want Kit to succeed. I also, as he's telling that the players to do their jobs, I'm asking him to maybe, you know, do a little bit more. Do, you know, again, drill them more. That's all I'm saying. Everyone do their job, not just the players. Everyone do their job. That's my commentary on this. All right, Mike, let's go through the match, and let's start here. Again, the play for Sheffield Wednesday started early. With starting in the fourth minute, Andy Lonergan made a great save on a Barry Bannon header. It started very early. Didn't take them long to get into this match. But now let's go to the first goal. It's in the 12th minute. Again, this is off of a corner kick. Fernando Forestieri, I don't know how tall, 5'6", 5'7", he's a small guy, scores on a header. Let's talk about this. Share with me your thoughts when you saw the first goal by Sheffield Wednesday.
Well, they'd had a chance just before that, and, you know, corner, we all know how susceptible we are, and it's right in front of us, and this little hobbit, he gets up, you know, beats, I think it was Dembele, possibly Richards, I'm not really sure. And it's in, and it's just, you know, again, you're just looking around who's marking, and you look at the stills and the replay, and we're all the wrong side, and we're being out-muscled by this small kid. It's, it was 1-0, and it was a case of, oh, you know, here we go again. Because we hadn't started well either, Russ, and
right.
We couldn't string two or three passes together, and we were under pressure straight away. You could see Husband and Pringle were going to have problems, and this is all in the space of the first, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And to go one down, it was, you know, here we go. But, you know, they got themselves up a little bit after that. But, yeah, it was, you know, to go away there, it's a tough place. I would say the pitch is a lot better than last year, that's for sure. They spent some money on that.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I mean, but the way they play, they need it. You know, they're running with the ball a lot and almost passing it around. But, yeah, you know, with the two new centre-backs, we shouldn't be conceding goals inside the six-yard box. And I'd also say, you know, for as good as Lonergan's been, that's in his area as well. He should be going for that kind of cross, I think.
Okay, very good. All right, Mike, let's now move to the 30th minute, and this is the equaliser for Fulham. Goal by Jamie O'Hara. Describe what happened here.
Do you want me or Giannis?
No, I want you. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay, so, I mean, I was sat probably, you know, the far end of the ground, but we could see it, and, you know, we have a cross goes in, McCormick actually gets involved, has a header, the ball ends up coming back out, and he has a shot, deflects off their player and goes in, but it's a good shot by O'Hara, one of the bright sparks of yesterday. And, you know, we're back in it, and we're happy, and, you know, yeah, let's push on. But it was a good shot by O'Hara, but it does, you can't see it on the replay, but it does take a deflection. And he deserves that for how well he's played over the last few games as well. And, you know, it was before we've got away with a couple of other chances against us. Let's see what we can do now. But as we saw, you know, another free kick or another corner, and we're in trouble.
Okay, very good. All right, so at this point it's 1-1, and Giannis, I will go to you now again, because I know that you've seen the highlights of this, and here's the second goal. It was in the 37th minute, and what we didn't see was a save by Andy Larnagan. Gentleman Jim did a very good job of describing that, but it was a very good save. And then they get their second goal off of a header, off of a corner kick. Talk about this.
It's a quick delivery. It's spinning in. It's come far post, and players just come in and nodded it in. I'm not sure if Lonergan maybe should have slightly off balance there, but honestly, again, he's just climbed. It's a simple header from 3 yards out. It's just laughable defending. It's tough enough. You don't want to concede corner kicks anyway, because you know they can be very productive. But again, there's really not much of a challenge, and it's gone through Lonergan's legs. And after a really nice goal by O'Hara, you know, we're back behind the eight ball again. And it's lamentable. It's lamentable defending. And it actually, you know, linked to that, I saw quite a few comments yesterday about, you know, deportment, demeanor, you know, about Kit, you know, when the goals are going in and he's standing on the spot like he's rooted. There's no emotion. There's nothing. It doesn't look like there's any guidance from the sidelines. There's no, you know, G-ing them up or moving them up or nothing. He's just standing there. And, you know, the players do feed off that. So, you know, he looks like a moose that's just crossed the road coming to lick the salt with a tractor trailer coming towards them. He's stunned. And the second goal was laughable again. It's poor defending all around.
Yeah, definitely. And again, watching it was painful to watch. And Mike, real quick, what were your thoughts about that second goal?
Well, Lonergan made a great save, which, you know, led to the corner. But again, it's at the back post. It's a headed down, which is what you're taught to do. And whether it goes through his legs, his hands, or whatever, Lonergan should have done a bit better. But then so should have the Fulham player marking him. Again, it's a player getting up on, we're not jumping. And again, you look at the steals and our positioning is just dreadful. It really is. We're playing catch up again. You know, we're down and we get back in it, and then we're down again, and so all the pressure is on for us to try and get that equaliser. And all the time, you know, because you haven't seen it yet, all the time they're getting more free kicks, they're getting more corners and crosses in and attacking us down the flanks. And as you would have probably heard on the commentary, and we were worried every time the ball was coming into the box. We literally thought we were going to let a goal in. It was that, and I suspect that feeds onto the players as well. They're worried about it. God, you know, we're getting attacked again. It was a very, very poor first half, really. I mean, you saw Ream have a chance and Tunnicliffe have a chance.
Right.
But, you know, they were half chances, really.
No, I'm glad that you mentioned the opportunities that those two players had, because we did have a few opportunities, but like you said, they were half chances. All right, Mike, I'm going to go back to you. Let's now move over to the second half. And I want to get your thoughts on this. Actually, I want to get both of your thoughts on the substitution, because on Twitter there was a good amount of discussion on this. Dan Byrne comes on, and Ben Pringle comes off. And, again, the deck is shuffled a little bit. Again, players have moved around. You've got Husband now in the midfield, and you've got Tim Ream at left back. What were your thoughts about this substitution, Mike?
Yeah, so to clarify, because I did notice Fulham tweeting, some people saying, oh, they've gone to five at the back. It wasn't.
They did
Ream
tweet that, by the way,
back.
You're right.
Yeah, I know. Ream went to left back, Byrne went to left side of centre backs, and the Husband went to left wing. And it did make sense, because Pringle was anonymous in the first half. He was a lot, you know, fans were getting on his back, but he was not performing well. He wasn't staying out wide. He was coming inside. Maybe it was, you know, frustration because it wasn't working for him and he was trying to get the ball. But he was making it an already crowded midfield, because Kearney was coming inside as well. Even more crowded. So you'd have Husband, another player who wasn't performing that well, having no options to get the ball down the line. So Pringle going off at half time. One, was it a tactical one? You know, Kit hasn't said anything about illness and that, but I just felt, you know, how poorly Husband and Pringle played. I wondered if they were ill, for whatever reasons. But yeah, it made sense. If it was a tactical change, then fair play to him, to Kit, for making that change and not leaving it to drag on, because yeah, Pringle was the poorest player in that first half. And so yeah, Burn coming in, we're losing headers, and he's probably he is the tallest player in the team. We want him there to win it. Also, he's going to give 100%, and that's what he showed second half. He'd get in, he'd get involved, he'd make the row Z clearances, which you need to do sometimes. So, yeah, I was happy with that substitution.
You know, Mike, this might surprise some people, but I was happy with it as well. I had no issue with this. I thought it was a good tactical move. That's just my opinion on it, and because of what you basically mentioned. Giannis, I'm going to go to you. Share your thoughts on that, and then also let's move on, because only 4 minutes later, Sheffield Wednesday get the third goal. This is off of a set piece. Michael Turner scores. Again, it was set up by Wallace. But talk about the change in halftime, and also unfortunately this third goal.
Well, the change. I agree with Mike. The change did seem to make sense. I mean, although Pringle, I think, was a little bit of a victim of the fact that the team was playing so narrow. But he's made the change, and I'm thinking, okay, well, that makes sense. But guess what? If you look at the delivery from Ross Wallace, lovely, spinning in, and Turner comes in, but who's the man who's marking him? Dan Burn.
Yep.
So, I mean, so...
Sorry, Giannis, I would disagree with that. If you watch it, it's Ream and Burn have the two players. But Ream doesn't go with the man behind Burn, so the ball is above him. So you could argue that Burn should have done better to win the header, but actually it's Ream who's let his player go.
But fair enough. But then that right there is that hesitational bit. That's disorganisation at the back. It wasn't the, you know, it was a good free kick. Don't get me wrong, but you really have to be able to at least. Shape that line accordingly for any type of free kick that's coming in. You know he's left-footed. You know it's going to be spinning into the box. You know, I mean, there's not a lot that Lonergan's going to do about that, and it's a silly, simple little header. Turner doesn't score many goals as it is, and yet again we've been done by a set piece. And now going back to Kit's comments about, I'm on two legs on this one. You know, very disappointed with the defending, but the way we battle, like, at the end of the day, the manager gets judged on results, and we lost 3-2. So I don't think any of the fans really give us stuff that we scored two goals, with the greatest of respect. It's the fact that we conceded three, and that third goal was a real killer for us, because it was just after half time, and now you're in real trouble, and you have to start, pushing men forward and seeing if you can maybe get back in the game and give yourself a chance of getting at least a point.
Okay, very, very good take there, Giannis. And Mike, I'm glad that you also chimed in and shared what you saw there, and talking about that it just wasn't Dan Burn, it was also Sam Ream, and it's fine to add that type of thoughts, because you were there. You know, I go, you know, I, you know, again, Giannis and
well,
I are watching,
rough,
and we have our own opinions, but you're actually there as well, so you could share things and maybe we didn't see. So I'm glad that you.
Oh,
could.
Russ, Russ, can I just say?
Go ahead.
I mean, Giannis is right, though. We defended that horribly. You look at the still photograph of which I've tweeted, and you've got Burn in front of the two players behind him, and you've got Ream to the left who hasn't gone with the runner, and then you've got Husband completely not goal side of his player, and we've got three in the wall. You look at where the free kick. Why have we got three in the wall?
Yeah.
And then you're left with five players marking five players, plus our own goal. Now, Giannis being a coach, you know, do you keep the same number of defenders in the box against the same number of attackers, or do you have at least one more spare man? You know, you don't leave it 5+5.
Yeah, one more.
Not.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
One more. At least one more. At least one more in there.
So you did not need three players in that wall there. He was not going to have a shot. Not from that angle. So,
no.
It was just dreadful. Dreadful.
Okay.
For that goal.
Okay. Very good comments from both of you. Really breaking that down. I really appreciate it from both of you. All right, Mike, now I'm going to go to you. I want to talk about the substitutions. I want to get your thoughts on both of them. In the 56th minute, James Husband is taken off by and LVC comes on. Kearney goes on the left, and LVC goes on the right. And about 6 minutes later, you have Colin Woodrow coming on for Moussa Dembele. Talk about both of these substitutions.
Okay, so you've got Husband who's gone to left wing, and like I say, it was his worst performance in over the two seasons. He's been on loan really, and he just didn't look at the game at all. And he's a left back, and funny enough, we had a discussion on Friends of Fulham forum about whether Husband could play left wing. And I argued that he couldn't because it's all about different angles and getting the ball back.
Yep.
But, you know, we needed some energy. We needed some passing. So LVC coming on made sense. And, you know, Kearney going out to the left, LVC on the right. I don't think it was mentioned on Twitter, but for the last 15 minutes, they actually swapped the other way around. LVC went on the left and Kearney probably had a more of a free role. But anyway, so that made sense because Kearney was left side last week as well for the rest of the second half. So we're missing LVC. He hasn't recaptured that form he had when he first got in the team last year. But we know what he's going to offer: running and energy, and you know, a bit of skill. And he showed some of that. I was disappointed with the Dembele substitution. We're 3-1 down. I think if you're 3-1 down, you want more strikers on in a way. 4-4-2 wasn't working, or whatever formation you want to call it. So just swapping a striker for a striker didn't make sense. I wouldn't say Dembele was having his best day, but he was having a better day than McCormick. And both their problems was we were not getting the ball to them. So I would have probably brought Woodrow on and maybe taken off Tunnicliffe or even Ross, really. And changed it somehow. I would have changed it somehow. I'm not sure, but I was disappointed with him going off. And Woodrow did okay, but again, I don't think we got the ball to him enough, and that was the biggest problem. You know, just not giving these guys a chance to affect the game and have a clear cut shot.
You know, it's funny, Mike. You kept mentioning that on Twitter, and I actually look forward to watching this entire replay. Because when we get to the later stages, Fulham definitely dominated the play, but you really have nailed the fact that there were no real clear-cut chances. There's an opportunity for Dan Byrne later on. We'll talk about it. But, again, in those later stages, there's no clear-cut opportunity. So, again, goodbye to you for being honest. You know, you are, you know, again, I love following you on Twitter, especially during the match, because you are really my eyes. I look at you as my eyes. And I'm listening to it, but I'm not there. You really fill in the gaps that I'm not seeing. Gentlemen, Jim does a nice job, but you give a different commentary. We'll just put it there. So I just want you to know how much I appreciate when you tweet during the match. All right, Giannis, I want to go over to you. Let's talk about the second goal by Fulham. It's in the 67th minute. Fulham get back in the match. Again, nice header by Tom Kearney, set up by Jamie O'Hara. What were your thoughts about the second goal for Fulham?
Lovely goal. It was a lovely goal. And, I'm glad O'Hara scored yesterday as well. He's been a tremendous pickup. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've always been a huge fan of his. And Kearney, beautiful timing. Keeper's got absolutely no chance. He showed a lot of will there to get there. And, that needs to rub off on more players. But again, 3-2, it's given us a little bit of a lifeline to get back. But we just fell a little bit short. But you see, you can't wait until you're a goal or two down before you start opening up the play and being more aggressive moving forward. Because I noticed, I've been hearing that, following Twitter things, that when we went 3-1 down, we started pushing forward, numbers forward. We should have done that when it was 1-1. You know, it's all about momentum. You know, you get the equalising goal. Now you've got Sheffield Wednesday on the rack a little bit. See if you can get the second goal. But no, we sit back in our shell. But it was a nice goal. And at least it did give us a lifeline moving forward.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Mike, back to you. I'm going to let you describe the final stages of this match. Again, I've not seen this. I've only heard it from Gentleman Jim in the 83rd minute. Ross McCormick was Jeff's offside. Can you explain to us how offside he was? Was this real close or was this blatant?
Yeah, as I was looking at it from behind the goal, it was on my right-hand side, so our left, and a ball sort of dinked over on the corner of the 18-yard box, and straight away I looked left and the flag goes up. So I think, you know, I think he probably was off, and then he sort of continued and put it in the net. So it wasn't a case of him scoring and everyone looking. It was blown, and
okay.
We all knew it wasn't going to count. But certainly the last, you know, there was 6 minutes of injury time and a few minutes before that. That sort of last 10, 12 minutes, I mean, I tweeted, you know, we were throwing everything at him. And, you
yep.
know, you saw Woodrow in position, Tunnicliffe in a position, Kearney, you know, I can't remember. Kearney did a particular run. I can't remember if it was at 3-1 or 3-2, where he burst through the middle of the pitch. I think he had Ross to his left, someone else to his right.
Yep.
And when you watch the replay, you'll think, why didn't he release it? And it goes back to what I said earlier, how slowly we break. And he's, you know, he's charging forward, pass it, and he just holds on too long, and then it breaks down and he falls to the floor. Kearney works his socks off second half, and he scored that goal, immediately picks the ball up, takes it back. You know,
I saw
he really, you know, was looking to do well. But Yanis is right. You can't wait until you're a couple of goals down to suddenly open up. Let's put people forward. And we were getting the ball in the box and, you know, maybe overplaying it a bit much. But, like I say, apart from the Dan Byrne one, where it sort of slipped through, and then I thought we had a shout for possibly a penalty, maybe. I don't know.
I was actually going to ask you about that. You had a good view of that. Was that really something that you could see going either way, or was it maybe just a slight gripe?
I think it was you may have got that penalty 1 in 10. You know,
okay.
We weren't that upset about it. But, you know, there was an argument, possibly. But so he had that little chance where he could, you know, but it was a very difficult one. He was stretching for it. But apart from that, we weren't creating those, you know, like I say, putting the ball through for us to have a chance to score. And, you know, a bit more composure, a bit more skill. But also, again, we're hesitating. You know, we're holding on too long and we're trying to make it the perfect ball when a lot of the time you've just got to play percentage and just get it in there, especially in injury time. Lonergan had a great chance. You saw that on the replay.
Yep.
And, place would have gone mad if his head had got to that. But, you know, if we'd got the goal and come away with a draw, we'd be happy with the draw. Within the point, but performance-wise, overall, 90 minutes, it wasn't good enough. And
okay, and that's, you know, again, that's why I enjoy doing this, because again, even if you get the point, I, you know, based on what I listen to, the commentary on social media, you know, and us discussing here, I look forward to watching it, but again, I have a feeling we'd still be having a similar conversation today. Mike, would you agree with that? Even if we got that goal?
Yes. I mean, you know, draw a last-minute equaliser is always great and you come away happier. But in retrospect, you know, you've got to take a step back a bit sometimes and look at the whole game. It's like last week. We won last week. We're all happy we won last week. But we also know that for an hour we were not the better team. It would have been the same yesterday, but it would have been for, you know, another hour, an hour and a quarter, we weren't the better team.
Okay, great. All right, guys, we only have a little over 10 minutes, and I definitely want to get Mike's ratings of the players. But before we do that, I'll go through the stats with you and just get your thoughts, both of you. Okay, let's start with possession. Fulham had 62% to 38 for Sheffield Wednesday. Total shots, Sheffield Wednesday had 10, Fulham had 8. Sheffield Wednesday had 5 on target, Fulham had 3. Passing accuracy was 66% to Sheffield Wednesday, 79% for Fulham. This is interesting. Accurate passes. Sheffield Wednesday only had 231. Fulham had 455. Key passes, though. Sheffield Wednesday had 9. Fulham had 5. This one was interesting for me. Crosses were even at 18. Crossing accuracy, Sheffield Wednesday were at 50%. Fulham were at 28%. Corners, another interesting stat. Fulham only had 1. Sheffield Wednesday had 6. Duels won, pretty close. Sheffield Wednesday had 58, Fulham had 56. Aerial Duels one. I found this one interesting. Fulham had 23. Sheffield Wednesday had 21. First to you, Mike, what do you make of these full-time stats?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the stats and you think, oh, you know, we, you know, it's 62% of the ball, 79% accuracy, and, you know, I'm a stats guy. I love all this stuff. But 79% tells you we weren't gambling. So I was just saying the last 10 minutes we were holding on the ball too long. We weren't throwing the ball enough into the box to try, you know, for that nod down, that knock, you know, whatever. And so overplaying it a little bit. The corners, yeah, we had one corner and that was in injury time.
Yep.
And what was the 28% one? Was that crosses?
Yeah. That was crossing accuracy. Yes.
Yeah. So they're winning 50% of the time. They're getting a cross in. They're 50%, and we're 28%. And that shows you why they had so many chances. And Lonergan was another busy Fulham goalkeeper. So I suppose the lesson from yesterday is, great, you have loads of possession, keeping the ball a lot, not giving away the passing that much. But if you don't do anything with it, it means jack.
That's great analysis. That's why I'm glad that I could quickly go through the stats with you. Giannis, do you second that from Mike, or do you come away with something else from the stats?
I might have used something a little bit more inappropriate, but Mike absolutely nailed it. But it's not what you do. It's not what you do. It's not what you have. It's what you do with it. You know, 62% possession is all well and good, but if the actual accuracy is poor, it doesn't mean a damn thing anyway. It's interesting that we only had one corner as well and three shots on target. And it seems to be a trend. I mean, if you don't shoot, I mean, Kieran Westwood is, I think, one of the better keepers in the division. But if you only have three shots on target in a game, there's only a maximum of three goals you can score, and it still wouldn't have got us the 3 points. So, again, back to the drawing board. But, of course, we've got Tuesday night against Stoke City, and that I'm really curious to see what sort of lineup Kit puts out for that one and how the team up.
Okay, very good. All right, guys. Mike, we only have a little over 7 minutes left, so I definitely want you to rate the players. You're going to have to do it fairly quickly. So a couple minutes, just share with me your ratings for the team. I know it's a tough ask, but see if you can get that done within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I can do that, don't worry. Lonergan 6, Richards 6. I thought he did okay yesterday. Stearman 5, Ream 5, Husband 3. Midfield, O'Hara 7, Kearney 7.5, Tunnicliffe 6, Pringle 3. Up front, McCormick 3.5, Dembele 4, and the subs, Burn 6, LVC 5, Woodrow 5.5. And,
okay.
that's as good as it's going to get, really. Richards did okay yesterday. O'Hara and Kearney did their jobs. But you're struggling to say anyone else did all right.
Okay, very good there, Mike. All right, real quick, who was your man of the match?
Yeah, it was Kearney. Kearney for his second half performance, because he was the one that, if anything good happened, it went through him.
Okay. And honestly, like I said, based on what I was listening to, the short highlights, you know, I could see where you're going with that on Tom Kearney. Let me ask you, because again, you put out your ratings on Viva El Fulham. Were you surprised with the three choices that the team put out?
Yes, I have no idea how Ream got in that list at all. I think they were pulled out of a hat. I know you have a lot of American listeners, and you know it's early for him, and I quite like him. He plays football on the floor, but I think he only won two headers yesterday. If you look at his stats compared to Burns, it's a little bit embarrassing in interceptions, blocks, and tackles and everything. He did okay at left back, but I've got some question marks now over him, really, to be honest. His third game. Let's see how that goes.
Okay, fair enough. All right, Mike, I have to ask you, I want you to rate Kit in this match. Rate the manager.
Okay, so the team was fine. The subs, okay, you know, you could argue about the last one, but, you know, I think he made them early, so you've got to give him a plus on that. And we gave it a good go at the end after he'd made all these subs. But the fact is we were too narrow. and same old mistakes of last year, and I still don't see a pattern of play. So, and his feedback, as people listening will tell, his comments after the game, he's not winning any plaudits from me. So, but I'm going to have to give him a 4 this week. But, you know, he's lost 5, you know, loads of points for those comments, really. I just don't know where he can go from that. I really don't know.
Mike, listen, you know, I know it sounds bad to make so much about this these comments, but honestly, I think it's warranted. I listened to it. I was shocked by what I listened to. I want Kit to succeed. We all want Kit to succeed. But he's not doing himself any favors by those comments. He just isn't. And I recommend everyone listening, if you're wondering, I put it on the Cars Talk Facebook page. Please listen to the comments of Kit Simons. Make your own judgment. If you don't believe us, make your own judgment. But I'm just telling you, listen to it and then think about what he had to say. Because I was just personally, I'm disappointed by what he shared in those comments to BBC London. All right, guys, we only have about 3 minutes left. So, Giannis, I just want to go to you one last time. Again,
yep.
Major congratulations to you, your wife, and the Black Panthers.
Thank you, young sir. We've got a promotion game next Saturday, and we've got practice Tuesday. So I think we're just going to have to, Tuesday, Thursday, just get through the two practices, get the game out of the way. We've got our first tryout next Saturday afternoon, and then we can start afresh. It's just one of those, you know what, you can look at it two ways. You can either sulk, or you can say, okay, let's use this as impetus and stuff to move forward. And I'm hoping that Kit is listening to this, because maybe for yesterday's game, we can, you know, maybe use it as impetus moving forward in terms of things that need to be addressed. But thank you very much to all the Fulham fans and to yourself, who were so supportive. And I've put a picture up on my Facebook page of the team, and looking very proud in the little medals.
That's great. You know, again, it's disappointing that you lost, but the accomplishment, you know, let's just talk about the accomplishment. It's phenomenal. And all of your girls just deserve so much credit, and your wife and you. You guys deserve so much credit for getting to that point. And please, enjoy that, because you deserve it.
We will.
All right, yeah, Mike, over to you. A couple minutes left. Any final thoughts about the match, about the show? Feel free to share.
Yeah, I know. I've enjoyed today. It's allowed me to rant a little bit. I don't think I'm usually like this. But I think what we've got coming up, we've got to look ahead. We've got 3 home games in a row. The Cup game, I would have expected him to make a few changes. He might still do that. But we've got massive game next Friday. Absolutely huge. And he needs a win, and he needs a performance. Because if it's a bad game, we've seen the Fulham fans already this year, you know, vent their anger at the end of the Huddersfield game. And I've always said I think he's 2 defeats in a row away from being in trouble. So Stoke's a free pass, I think, but QPR isn't, and so they've got a lot of work to do this week.
For sure.
They absolutely do, and, you know, again, I wish Kit, the players, all the best of luck this week, but that match on, you know, again, the Stoke City match is nice. It's all about that QPR match, and there's a lot riding on that. Like you said, the pressure will mount if they do not get all 3 points. I honestly don't think a point's enough. They need to win that match. There's a lot of pressure on it, and let's hope that they can stand up to the pressure and win at home. It's a huge match. All right, guys, great show, phenomenal show. And I hope it allowed you guys to vent a little bit. I know I feel a little bit better after venting, but it's time to wrap this up. For Mike and Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cotter's Talk Extra Time. Cheers, guys. Have a great day.
Cheers, Giannis. Cheers, Russ. Bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Oh, no!